Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. On my second stop in the US, I was able to talk to Mike Vogel, who is covering the Washington Capitals. Was in the first intermission of the Caps game against the Dallas Stars at home. Was a great experience for me as well, as I haven't been to a Capitals game in Washington yet, so it was nice to see that venue there. It was a little strange for me, as they had all the Oktoberfest festivities in there, which really meant that they took it very seriously with all the sausages prizes there and the Lederhosen race and whatever break there was. They highlighted with a loud infusion of Oktoberfest and German music. So that was a little strange for me, but the more important part, it was a interesting game. It was great to see Ovechkin live finally, and always great to talk to someone like Mike, who's been on my show before. So enjoy a couple of minutes with Mike Vogel talking about the Washington Capitals. Okay, so as I make my way around the U.S., I'm now finally in Washington. Took me a little while there. And I'm standing in the hallways of the Capital One Arena with Mike Vogel. Mike, thanks for taking the time.
Sure,
and
of
it's
course.
Great to finally be in Washington and see a hockey game here. Mike, I saw your pregame. I know that you are doing the blog for the Capitals. You do a lot of stuff around them. Just maybe keep my listeners updated on what you're doing around the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I travel with them every game. I haven't missed a game in over 10 years. And I do like a player interview every morning with a different player. And then pregame with our radio voice, John Walton. Just a quick two-minute breakdown of the game before every game. But yeah, I write three blog entries on every game, like two before, one the day before, one the morning before, and then one after, and then, you know, just various stories and whatnot in between.
So anyone who's interested in the Capitals, I know that Mike will keep you updated. I try to read when I call games of the Capitals. I try to read your stuff ahead of the game, so I'm as prepared as I could be. The Capitals were a strange team last season. They had one of the worst goal differentials, I think, I don't know if it was ever, for a team that qualified for the playoffs. So a pretty strange regular season. And then I had the feeling in the first two games in New York, they played pretty well, but they couldn't really get the momentum goals there. And then afterwards, it was kind of like the air went out of the balloon. They didn't really compete anymore. What was the real face of the Washington Capitals last season? What was the face of that team?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, Lars. I think like they got off to a tough start. They really struggled to score goals, especially early in the season. And then right around the midpoint of the season, a couple of things changed. Number one, Ovi got hot. Number two, Charlie Lindgren took over in goal. And number three, Evgeny Kuznetsov went into the player assistance program. And then soon after that was traded to Carolina. So that opened up a spot for Hendrix Lapierre, who came up and played really well in the Kuznetsov spot over the last 25 games or so of the season. Charlie led the league in games played from February 10th to the end of the season, and he was excellent. And Ovi scored 20 of his 31 goals from that period of time as well. So also the power play got really hot down the stretch. So those elements all combined to get them into the playoffs. But I think that once they got in, they were going to be hard-pressed to beat the Rangers, President's Trophy-winning team against, like you said, a team that had just an abysmal goal differential and just really didn't. I mean, somebody had to be that eighth playoff team, and there were five or six teams that were trying to get it, every one of those teams was playing a goalie that didn't start the season with, and nobody seemed to be able to grab it. Every one of those teams also lost four or five games in a row, including Washington, like right before the end of the season. So it was just a bizarre race.
Yeah, it felt really strange.
So I wasn't expecting much once they got in, but I do think it was a good achievement for them, given they had a number of young players. They were able to get those guys a taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think going forward, if they're able to get in this year, next year, etc., then at least these guys will go in knowing what that's like, knowing what to expect. There's a big difference between regular season hockey and playoff hockey.
And then they made a couple of changes in the offseason. The most big one, bringing in Pierre-Luc Dubois and sending out Darcy Kuemper. With Pierre-Luc Dubois, I must admit, I think it's his fourth team now. Yep. And I was fascinated by him because from his size and from the way he could play, in theory, he's one of the guys that could be one of the top players for the team he plays for, but it's his fourth team. There's a reason for that. So what do you expect and what are the Capitals expecting from him? I've seen him play today. It looks, I mean, I've just seen him for 20 minutes now, so that's not something where you can judge a lot of, but he looked a little bit off still. Have you seen so far, and what are the expectations?
The whole team looked off in that period. But, I think PL's done well so far. He looked good in a preseason. He's been on a line with Connor McMichael and Tom Wilson. That's been probably the Caps' best line through
the
preseason.
Good combination, I think.
It gives you a little bit of everything. Got some speed, some size, some skill. They've played and actually the last game, the game they played against Vegas, that line was the line that they used to shut down the Eichel line.
Okay.
So they were every time Eichel was on the ice, that was the line they deployed against them too. And the idea was, okay, we know we can put Nick Dowd's line out there to defend against them, but in this way, we can maybe get some offense, make Eichel's line play some defense too. So that was the theory behind that. But I think they're just looking for some stability out of PL. They need him to be consistent over 82 games, and I think that's been the knock on him. For me, I don't understand why Los Angeles made the trade. They give up assets to get him.
Yeah.
They could have signed him for 7 years and not given up anything. They gave Winnipeg assets to get that extra year, and then they got him to Los Angeles, where they already had Kopitar, they already had Deneau, and they have Quentin Byfield, who I think is going to be a center. I didn't understand why they wanted Pierre Dubois, honestly. And he only played over 20 minutes one game.
Yeah.
And he played all 82 games. He played over 20 minutes once, and it was opening night. And he was the third-line center after that. So, I mean, I don't know why you would pay a third-line center $8 million, number one, and why you wouldn't, if you're going to pay the guy, let him play on the power play. They didn't
try
do that
stuff.
Either. So
try stuff,
I think here he's going to have a larger role. And we've seen that when he has had a significant role, he's produced. His numbers in Winnipeg were good. He played on the power play. He's pretty versatile. He can play the goal line spot. He can play the bumper spot. He can play the half wall spot. He's got a lot of ability to play on the power play. Just need to find him a spot, I think. And I think he's fitting well. His teammates seem to like him. So I'm expecting him to have more of a Winnipeg-type season here this year than the numbers he put up in Los Angeles last year.
And then the Capitals brought in a couple of what I would call like depth players, Jacob Chychrun, Duhaime, Mangiapane. Is that something that helps them maybe have more opportunities to combine different players also maybe during the season, but also during a playoff series where they might benefit from being able to put, I don't know, Mangiapane on another line then, and Duhaime is kind of like an energy guy. So more combination, I think, than they had last season.
Yeah, I think with Duhaime and Radish, those guys are playing with Nick Dowd, and that's also a shutdown line opportunity that they have. But that line can create a little more offense than the guys that Nick was playing with last year. Mangiapane, they had him with Ovechkin in the preseason. They moved Protas up there for the last game. That looked a little better, so that's the way it is tonight as well. But they brought in, including Jacob Vrana coming back for a second tour of duty here. There's eight new faces in the lineup this year, so it's a significantly different team. It'll probably take a little bit of time for them to all gel and fit together and everything. But I do think part of it too is just trying to get this team a little bit younger. Because if you think of that, this time last year, Nicholas Backstrom was still on the active roster. So was Oshie. So was Kuznetsov. 2 years ago, opening night roster had 17 players that were age 30 or older.
This year,
there were only seven. Yeah. So you in 2 years, you've gone from 17 guys and the oldest team in the league two years ago. Now middle of, they're I think maybe in the top third oldest, but most of their players are now under age 30, and every guy that they brought in over the offseason is still under 30, so significantly younger. The additions of Matt Roy and Chychrun make their defense, to me, a lot deeper.
Yeah.
So I think they address pretty much every area of the ice. They brought in five new forwards, two new defensemen, and a new goaltender as well. So, I think it's. I think on paper, anyway, they're a better team than the one that made the playoffs last year. But you know, they don't play the games on paper; they got to play them on the ice. So we'll see how that works out. If the team stays healthy, I'm optimistic that they could get into the playoffs and fare a little bit better than they did last year for sure.
I pretty much said the same things in my preview as well, that they got better in the off season. We'll see what that means, because the other teams, like you mentioned, there were a couple of teams slumping at the end of last year, so maybe it's not enough to have 4 or 5 points more, but still they did what they could do, and I think it's fascinating to have like this two sides where obviously they want to be competitive as long as Alex is trying to reach the record, but on the other hand, you can't just throw away years or you can't just throw away your future. So, regarding Ovechkin, yesterday we had the record night in Pittsburgh with Crosby and Malkin setting some marks there. How much is it still a rivalry anymore, or how much is it more like respect between the players and the teams of what all of them together, so to speak, achieved during those 20 years? For Alex and Sid.
Yeah, I think you said it, Lars. I think there's a lot of respect. There was more. I would say there were more bad feelings between all those players 15 years ago, 20 years ago when they came into the league together. But now I think there's a lot of respect and mutual reverence for one another. They're all going to the Hall of Fame. We all know that. And then Pittsburgh won three cups. The Caps won one. So I think. To win one is an amazing feat, but you gotta give respect to the Penguins for winning three, and especially for winning back to back cups, which I think is a really incredible feat. I know that's the way I feel too. You know, you're watching these guys come up, and the rivalry was intense at its peak, and I think now. Yeah, you see TVs kind of shying away from it now. That when the Caps play the Penguins, it's not like an automatic national TV game anymore. There's other rivalries that I think they pay a little more attention to now, and that's understandable. Time changes everything, so there's no exception in the NHL.
But I think it's good for the league to have both ways. To have the old guys setting the records, but to have young guys coming in, to have young players. You mentioned a couple from the Capitals. We see Dallas is, for me, a great team because they were really able to build on the fly. They have so many great deep drafts. They've never drafted high, but they draft well.
I respect those teams, and I think that's kind of what the Caps have in mind, is to do what Dallas is doing. You know, and they've got some younger players coming that will probably be here next year, or if not later this year. I think Boston does that too, where you can't think of a time where they've just torn everything down and rebuilt. You know, they lose Bergeron, they lose Krejci, but they're not rebuilding. They're still there. They still manage to put a good team on the ice every year somehow. And their drafts, I don't think, have been as good as Dallas. I don't think they've drafted any, like, real high-end talent, but they draft enough complementary players, and then they make smart decisions, it seems like. So, and we've talked about this a lot here. You know, the Caps were fortunate to be able to rebuild. Same with Pittsburgh, Chicago at the same time, too. All those teams rebuilt at the same time about 20 years ago. They all won their cups. And so they kind of made it look easy. So now you see all these other teams trying to do it, and they're struggling. Like, you look at Buffalo, you look how long it took Florida to get to where they are. You look at Columbus. There's so many teams that
the Oilers.
Yeah, the Oilers is a great example too. You know, they're now knocking on the door, but man, it took them a long time to get there. And that's just, you know, it just goes to show how hard it is and how many things you need to have go exactly your way in order to win the whole thing. There's 32 teams trying to do it, and only one can do it every year.
Yeah, Mike. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks a lot for the insights. You could go on for hours, I would guess. So, but I know you got to work. So, thanks a lot for coming on the show. And yeah, it's a pleasure.
Great talking to you. Great meeting you too.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Hallo, ich bin Christiane Beer, Führungskräftecoachin und Organisationsberaterin. Alle zwei Wochen habe ich in meinem Podcast Führungsgefühle Führungsmenschen zu Gast. Getreu dem Motto, Führungskräfte sind auch nur Menschen, spreche ich dabei mit meinen Gästinnen über deren Führungsarbeit und wie es ihnen im Arbeitsalltag damit geht.
Ist dann immer auch gepaart mit persönlichen Verletzungen.
Wir sprechen dann über ihr ganz persönliches Glück und Leid, Frust, Stolz, Sehnsüchte, Leidenschaften als Führungskraft, von Führungsgefühlen eben. Und wir sprechen darüber, wie sie damit umgehen.
Das ist tatsächlich etwas, was mich vom Bild her die Wellen surfen lässt.
Führungsgefühle, der Führungspodcast mit dem Blick auf ganze Menschen. Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.